Blog Talk Radio.
Austin Aries is still the Impact World Champion. He beats Falabar in the main event of Impact Wrestling tonight on September 13th, 2018. This is the PW Torch Livecast post-Impact show. I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek. Andrew, your thoughts on this episode of Impact Wrestling?
Overall, I think it was kind of a fun episode just for the fact that they told one major story throughout the entire episode. They gave us an underdog tale to believe in. Of course, I mean, people knew we weren't going to see Johnny Impact and Falabah at Bound for Glory, but it was kind of fun. But still, it seemed out of place. Like, it seemed like this would have been like a better, I don't know, June, July episode and not so close to Bound for Glory. So mild thumbs up from me, I would say.
Yeah, because we are like, man, what, 5 weeks away from the pay-per-view now? It's really close. And They're starting to set up some matches. We know we're going to get Austin Aries and Johnny Impact. We know we're going to get OVE against the Lucha Brothers and Brian Cage. And then we know we're going to get LAX and the OGs. So of the three big matches they've hyped so far, two of them are six-man tags.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... Yeah. I mean, hey, it is what it is, but I mean, is it weird to you? I mean, six-man tags to me are like, it's how WWE fills a main event on Raw when they don't know what they're going to do. They just go, let's just take three feuds that are happening at once and do a six-man, because why not? It kind of feels like that's what's happening here. Only they're doing it on a pay-per-view instead of, a July episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of unfortunate. That had kind of popped into my mind tonight when they officially announced Brian Cage would be in that OVE match. I mean, part of that is how OVE has been booked. Basically, Cage, you would believe, could destroy all three guys by himself. They tried to give OVE that squash win, I think it was last week, to try to get people to believe they're a threat, but no, Callahan is, but the other guys have been pushed kind of just as glorified jobbers, kind of. They always lose, unfortunately. So, yeah, I 6 months ago, I would have hoped Brian Cage would have been in something more interesting for this show. I wish, his undefeated streak was really still going. I think that's the biggest one for me right now, is that this just doesn't feel like that could easily be an Impact main event. That shouldn't be a pay-per-view match, so... what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. The biggest thing to me is you take the X Division Championship now off the show. You're not going to have a title. I mean, look, it's not the end of the world, I guess. I mean, if you really look at it, who's the real viable challenger for Brian Cage's X Division title? I'm not sure there is one. You know, maybe Rich Swann again but quite frankly, honestly, I think from a pure match standpoint, like, I'd rather see Brian Cage against Pentagon for the X Division title, one-on-one.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I think people would be more excited about that than they would be a six-man. But then at the same time, like, you know, what do you do with OVE? I mean, that's the other thing. You need something for Callahan to do. He's been such a central figure. You need something for OVE to do. But I don't like that they don't have the X Division Championship on the show. I would have rather, like I said, seen Cage against, you know, maybe you do Cage against Callahan. You know, maybe that's the match. I think I'd even rather that one-on-one than a six man, especially where that LAX OG's match is also a six man. It just seems like there's a little bit of redundancy there.
For sure. And another thing that it does is, of course, Impact never said Chris Jericho will be at this show, but and he may still show up in some form or another. You definitely cannot rule that out, especially after, you know, him showing up at All In. But any plans of Callahan, Jericho are certainly off the table at this point, which is disappointing. But again, it was never really announced. But the fact that Chris Jericho's name is on every single episode And as fans, we're not really getting anything out of it because we're not going on this cruise. I'm guessing most people aren't, so they're never going to see the matches that are actually promoted unless they're actually going to tape the thing. But I can't imagine they would record that live being on the ocean like that. So it's a little disappointing to me, even though they never flat out said Chris Jericho will be on this show. But maybe he still will be up in on some form.
Yeah, I think they're at a point with Jericho now where they've teased it so much that he has to come in at some point or else it's a letdown. Because even tonight, you know, Don Callis, I think in plugging the cruise, and again, I was doing something else as this part aired, so I may have missed the line exactly, but it sounded like they ran a promo for the cruise, and then as soon as they came back, Don Callis said something to the effect of, you know, maybe we'll bring Chris Jericho back with us to Impact Wrestling. It seems to be what everybody wants. I mean, they're teasing it so heavily. Yeah. To not have him show up at some point, I think feels like a bait and switch more than anything else, because it's like they're leading you to believe, okay, at some point Jericho's going to show up. At some point Jericho's going to show up. If it doesn't happen, I think you're just going to get people that are upset.
Yeah, and at this point, it seems you have to do it at Bound for Glory or the set of TV tapings after. I mean, he could show up at any time and it would be fun, but you can't just keep dragging this thing out for months and months. And yeah, just to go back, I mean, it's so weird to keep promoting something multiple times a show for the past 2 months that nobody's going to see unless you actually spend, I don't know, $2,000. It's a complete guess, but to go on this cruise, which so a vast majority of people, so the vast majority of people they're plugging this to are never going to see it. So it seems there has to be some sort of trade-off. And the only conclusion I could get is that Jericho will actually show up at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Jericho's rate is, but maybe that's the deal. I mean, they're plugging the cruise on a weekly basis. So maybe the deal is, hey, you can advertise. We'll advertise your cruise on our show. We don't want money for it. We want, you know, we want you for 3 dates. Mm-hmm. And the 3 dates are Bound for Glory and the 2 television tapings immediately following that. I don't know what Jericho's per day rate is on the indies. I don't know what New Japan paid him or what All In or what he made it All In, if he made anything at All In. It almost makes me wonder, like when they first started getting those promos, that was my thought. I was like, okay, well, to get him into Impact, maybe that's what they did, you know, because Jericho, the cruise isn't, from my understanding, and I don't know if this is correct, but from what I've read and from what I understand, the cruise is not selling maybe as quickly as people would have liked it to. So maybe Jericho's feeling the heat a little bit, and if it's not selling, if the advance is not as big as you thought it was going to be, how much cash is on hand to run an advertising campaign, even something as small as Impact Wrestling? So Does Jericho look at the opportunity to, okay, we'll do a trade, we'll plug it for free, you come in and work a couple dates. Is that something that is kind of agreeable to everybody? You know, I wouldn't be surprised, given what he did at All In, I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't paid for that either, because he plugged the cruise at All In and he said it to Kenny Omega. He said, I'll see you on the Jericho cruise. I wouldn't be surprised if they worked out something where it's like, hey, Chris, you come in, do a run in, beat up Kenny Omega, and then grab a mic and plug your cruise. You know, that's the payment for it. Who knows whether or not that's happening or whether there's actually money changing hands, but I wouldn't be surprised to learn that, you know, it's a barter deal almost on the advertising for the actual Jericho appearance, if he's that desperate to sell the cruise, which has been speculated that has been the case.
Yeah, I think in an interview recently, he did say something to the effect of, he basically told Cody, pay me a fair wage or something.
Okay.
So I don't think he made a ton of money out of it, but yeah, that may have been worked into it as well. Like, hey, this is a great opportunity for you to promote your cruise. And yeah, it doesn't feel like there's a ton of buzz around that. Even though there's some really good and cool matches on the show, but it's just like, it's such a high entry point, to go see this thing. And you have to make a real commitment. Like, you know, a lot of people only have 2-3 weeks of vacation a year, and to take one of those to go on a wrestling cruise, not all that easy.
You know, so I'm looking at it now. It's not terrible. If you were to go with two people, because the price for a single is a little more expensive, but if you were going to go with two people, the get in price right now is $825 a person. That's for an interior room, so there's no view or anything like that. Then an ocean view is $950 a person. Balcony is $1,249. Mini suite is $1,599, and then they've got a lot of penthouse suites for $2,550 per person and on upwards. So that the price isn't terrible. I mean, that's for two people. If you were trying to go just by yourself, an interior room instead of it being $825 a person is $1,451. So if you're trying to go just alone, yeah, you're looking at like at least $1,500, probably closer to $2,000, because I'm looking at availability here, and about looks like maybe 2/3 of the cabins are sold if this availability chart is accurate. It also says add $225 a person for taxes and fees. So,
oh wow,
$225 a person for tax. That's insane.
Jeez.
Maybe it's not insane. I've never been on a cruise before, but it seems like a lot. But the other thing to remember too is that it's sailing from Miami to the Bahamas. So you're going to spend what you're going to spend on the cruise. You also need to get yourself to Miami. So you need to buy airfare to and from Miami. So even if you're going, let's say you take the bottom tier out of it and you go somewhere in the middle, you're spending about $1,400 for a room with a balcony per person. That's assuming you're going with two people. So you're going to spend, let's say you're by yourself, you're spending $1,400 to get on the boat. You're probably, depending upon where you're flying from in the country, you're probably spending another $400 or $500 on airfare. Then you add that $225 in there. I mean, you could easily be looking at over $2,000 by the time you get all said and done, I would say.
The thing is, too, is from what I understand, is it's only one wrestling show, right? Like, there's going to be some rock acts.
Is it really?
I think it's, yeah. I could be wrong. I thought it was just one big wrestling show, and then you basically hang out with the singers and other wrestlers for the rest of the the cruise. But
well, it shows all the talent that is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Trying to see if I can find a schedule, but I don't really see one.
That's a lot of money, though. So I'm not overly surprised that it's not selling like crazy. So I could see why he would want to be on TV everywhere he can. When is this thing actually again?
It is October 27th to the 31st.
Oh, so that does give him, if he showed up at Bound for Glory, that would give him another chance to plug it.
It would, yeah. And maybe it's something where they could do it with, like I said, and he can even work the TV afterwards. Because the one-off at Bound for Glory would be cool. It's not like anytime if he shows up, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
But to get him for maybe a couple of TVs and maybe get, one or two matches out of it, I think would be fun as well. I'm not finding a schedule here. See an itinerary of when they leave and all that stuff. They have the Sea of Honor tournament. So maybe it's, unless this is all part of one show, because they've got the ROH tournament is happening, the Sea of Honor tournament. And that doesn't list any of the Impact guys. So it's got to be more than just the one tournament. But, who knows? Maybe all the wrestling is happening one night.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I haven't really thought about it because I'm not going to go. Sounds fun, but I just won't be there, sadly. But yeah, I mean, I'm almost wondering too if he just shows up on Impact and does the same thing he did at All In, where he just attacks somebody or cuts a promo. I mean, a match would be big, but he also probably doesn't want to risk getting hurt in any form.
True.
If that's coming up, so if he's going to do it, it's going to happen soon, I would imagine. And if he doesn't, that's not so good at this point.
I'd be surprised if it happened in Mexico, although they're taping in Mexico as we speak. I highly doubt he'll be in any of the Mexico shows.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, New York seems like it's a logical fit. I mean, that's an easy market to get to, obviously. Let's look up the Fozzie tour dates. Weekend. So let's see. Well, they're touring right now. So Chris Jericho is in Indianapolis, Indiana tonight. they tore. Okay, well, here it is. They tore up until October 6th, and then they're off until November 7th, which is when the Jericho Cruise, about a week after the Jericho Cruise ends. So Bound for Glory is what, the 14th?
I think so. That sounds
something
right.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't have my calendar up, but I feel that's what it is.
Something around there. So he easily, I mean, there's nothing, at least from a Fozzy tour standpoint, there's nothing that would preclude him from doing something at Bound for Glory in the 1 or 2 days of tapings that are going to be after that. At least not, you know, not on this Fozzy tour schedule that they have here on the website. But yeah, I guess we'll see. Like I said, though, I just think it's, they've teased it so much at this point. If he never shows up, I think people are going to view it as a disappointment just because it's been plugged so heavily. And I have to think that Don Callis is smarter than to tease this so heavily if it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're so PR conscious right now and trying to get as much goodwill as they can. And Slammiversary was great. And they seem to be really in tune with trying to do things the right way and let people know that this is not the same Impact. You know, this is not the way it was run 2 years ago or anything like that, or even last year. To tease Chris Jericho over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and have him not show up is not a good way to generate goodwill for your company.
No.
And I have to think he's smarter than that. So I have to imagine he shows up at some point.
I think so too. I mean, if he doesn't, then it basically makes it look like he was playing them for fools. Like, you guys gave me all of this free stuff, unless he's paying them for commercials, which I haven't heard anything about that. I doubt he is. It would make them look foolish to continually plug him to, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, they cut to that, to a whole section of the crowd chanting for him. And Don Callis just kind of like mugged for the camera a little bit. So something is definitely up. And if they don't follow through with it, they don't want that to have that look on them at this point.
What about something else that they added right after? I think I might be getting the timeline confused because I was in the middle of trying to just do some things here at the house when I had just put the show on. There was something to the effect of, after they talked about how, hey, you know, Don Callis said, well, maybe they bring Chris Jericho back from the Jericho Cruise and bring him to Impact. It's what everyone wants to see. And Josh Matthews, I think, at that point made a comment about how they're doing a lot of things that everyone has wanted them to do, and pointed about how they've taken Impact on the road and they've gotten out of the Impact Zone. And then I think plugged some of the upcoming tour dates that they have, or the upcoming taping dates they have in Mexico and in Vegas and New York. And you know, it's weird, but like it did kind of get me thinking. A lot of the stuff that a year ago you and I were saying that they absolutely needed to do, they've kind of done. Not everything, but a lot of things that you and I a year ago at this time were saying would be just vast, just incredible improvements to the product overall, they're doing. I mean, they're no longer in Orlando, and it doesn't seem like they're going to go back. Toronto now for this week, Mexico next week. New York when they tape on for Glory, and then Vegas in November. They're taping more frequently, so they're not taping, you know, 8 weeks of television in a row at a time. It does kind of quietly, because I know you and I haven't really talked about it much, it seems, but quietly they're doing a lot of the things that we said a year ago we thought they needed to do to make the show and the presentation of it feel fresher.
That's true. I guess, except for the fact that Josh Matthews is the one saying
it. That's a big one. Yeah.
And to be fair, he hasn't been as bad as we've kind of said over these past month or so. So yep. he's decent.
He's tolerable now.
He's definitely 100%. Definitely tolerable now. I would still, if I owned Impact, I would still replace him just due to him being part of a bad product for so long.
Yep.
And I think there's still better choices out there, but yeah, again, he's fine. The frustrating thing, though, I imagine for them especially, is just that they've made all these positive changes and the ratings stink. They're worse, I believe, than they were a year ago when they've
stayed put for the most part, or declined. Yeah, like you said, they probably actually declined slightly.
Yeah, I feel, and I'd have to look it up for sure, but I feel they were like low 300s about a year ago, and now they're 230, 40, 50, 60 which is too bad, because at one point it looked like they were creeping up towards 400,000.
That was a summer.
Yeah, and that, like, and then people just lost interest. I mean, they did put on, it's on them. I mean, they put on a series of pretty lackluster shows. There wasn't a creative direction. I have no idea what happened with them. But the past, ever since Slammiversary, has been largely pretty good, give or take a attempted murder on our friend Richie, stuff like that. But yeah, the despite all these changes, people aren't coming back, and I think that's still just going to take many more months of good TV. But there's the fact that they can go on the road, the fact that they sold out Bound for Glory, that's good. That's good for them, and it's hopefully a sign of some positive momentum.
How about the fact that did Eddie Kingston say tonight that he wished he killed Richie?
Yeah, he said something to the effect of the only thing that he regretted is that they didn't put Richie in the ground or something, and I was hoping they would have moved away from that and just chalked it up to that was stupid, let's never bring it up again. But no, they Callis and Matthews played that up, that how disgusting that was. But again, when I think of that, the thing I think of is that we saw a camera through his dying eyes, which just ruins any bit of believability. You're telling me that this is fake, basically. Which I think is a dumb thing for them to do. So I can't get invested in that. A dumb line.
Richie makes a run in it at Bound for Glory, right? We all assume so.
I hope so. He's the only one that can save LAX.
That's true. It's up to him.
It's up to him. You can do it, Richie.
All right, let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll start taking calls at 515-605-9345. Again, the number is 515-605-9345. If you're on hold, make sure you hit the number 1. That's going to let us know that you want to get on the air. And we're going to get to phone. We got 3 or 4 people here already lined up. So
all right.
When we come back, we'll get right to phone calls here on a Thursday live cast.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, NotSam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week. With the state of wrestling, Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now, get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
All right, back here on the live cast, 515-605-9345. Hit that number 1 when you're on hold. It's going to let you know you want to get on the air. Let's go first to Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, how are you?
Good. First question I have for you is, since Phoenix turned on his tag team partners last night, can you picture in the next year that Phoenix and Pentagon Dark will have a feud in the heart of, like, Owen and Brett and Jeff and Matt Hardy?
I think that would be fun. It depends on where now. What I think we'll have to see is where they do it. there's rumors that WWE is interested in both of them. If they were to stay with Lucha Underground and AAA and Impact in the indie scene that they're on, I would think that at some point they would feud. At least I think Impact would head in that direction at some point. But I guess for now we have to see where they end up. Andrew, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think they will. It seems like in Lucha Underground, they've kind of ran into each other in the past. I'd have to go back and kind of look at, God, their mythology kind of messes me up sometimes. But I would assume they probably will, either in Impact or, maybe WWE. I'm really hoping that's not the route that those two go, but that's just a personal thing. I think it's pretty logical that at some point that they will have a very lengthy feud with each other. I think for if they do it in Impact, the thing they need to do at the moment is really just let us know who Phoenix is. Yeah, they've, I don't know, they haven't really given him vignettes or a lot of time to let us know who he is. All we know is that he's Pentagon's brother, and for the vast majority of fans, Pentagon is the cool one. So it kind of seems he's like leeching off, I don't want to say leeching off him, because he's crazy talented in his own right, but he just doesn't have a character that matches Pentagon's at the moment. So I think that's the challenge, to make fans really care about Phoenix before they go to that feud. So I would wait off until that happens, but it'll happen eventually.
My second question for you is, do you have a pick on the Sea of Honor tournament that they've been promoting the last few weeks on Chris Jericho's cruise?
You know, it's funny. I was looking at that earlier. I think Jay Lethal's in the tournament. Let me pull it up here. And he is, of course, the Ring of Honor champion, which I thought was weird. Sea of Honor tournament. Yeah, he is. So, I mean, I would think Jay Lethal would go a long way in here, especially if he's the Ring of Honor world champion. Although, you know, there's some interesting potential matchups for him. So if you bring up the bracket, which the Jericho Cruise website has the bracket, Lethal faces BJ Whitmer in the first round. Then if he gets through that match, he'd face either Christopher Daniels or Delirious. And then he could face Marty Scurll, Rhett Titus, Silas Young, or Flip Gordon, who he saw at All In. So my guess is that that bracket will probably come down to Jay Lethal and Flip Gordon. And then if they're going to tell a story here, and I would imagine that, you know, again, these matches, like you said, Andrew, may not be taped, but they might be utilized or talked about on ROH TV. You know, someone could get a win over Jay Lethal, either on his own side of the bracket or maybe on the other side of the bracket. Adam Page beats him or somebody gets a win over Lethal, which then kind of catapults a story for ROH to, hey, this person beat Jay Lethal in the Sea of Honor tournament, and you know, now they're going to get a title match, and can they beat him for the title? I mean, we've seen that done a lot, where a champion loses in a non-title match. So I could see something like that happen. I mean, I guess if I were to just make a pick, if I were to make a pick, I'm going to pick Marty Scurll. Just because looking at the names, I think he's kind of the one that feels like he's ready to break out more than others. And I think someone argued that he already has. But, yeah, I think I'd go with Marty Scurll. I think people are going to expect Jay Lethal wins, and that's going to mean that he gets caught at some point. Andrew, do you have the bracket in front of you? And if you do, do you have a pick for the Sea of Honor tournament?
I am going to go the same as you and go Marty Scurll. And this isn't my guess is pretty uneducated because I just don't watch a lot of Ring of Honor. But yeah, I mean, of all the names, it seems like he's the biggest and has the most momentum and news behind him. So I think that would probably be the most newsworthy thing for them to go back to in the future if he wins. But people who watch ROH more than I do may think that's a silly pick. So. Just a guess.
Next question I have for you is on is old time wrestlers that were mentioned, such as Von Erichs, the new breed that they showed in 2005, Catalina's brother, the pirate, and Rick Martel. Who do you see possibly make an appearance in Impact that were mentioned tonight, if any?
That's a good one. I don't know. You know what? Just because it's such comedy goofball stuff, I could see them bringing in Paul Burchill for like a one night thing. You know, Paul Burchill running around in his pirate costume with Grado and Joe Hendry. That does kind of seem like something they would do, especially with those characters. Andrew, what do you think? Do you think we'll see Paul Burchill running around anytime soon?
I would love to see Paul Burchill run around. I thought he was vastly utilized and always wanted to see him land up in TNA at some point, and he never did. So I always felt bad for the guy. I don't know if they want to. I mean, it was funny when he brought up that line tonight about her pirate brother that she did things with, because the original idea was an incest angle between the two. So I don't know if they really want to touch that more than I guess at all. I don't know how to finish that sentence. My other thought is, yeah, maybe the Von Erichs. I although they could be out. I was just wondering what happened to these two guys.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. I thought they were going to get signed out of that out of that appearance, and it was a one-off thing. We never saw them again.
And which was strange then why they highlighted that tonight. Just very random. So, yeah, was my thought. Because they'll bring them in.
Yeah, they've taken those GWN moments, and at least in the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've kind of wrapped them around current events. You know, whether it's AJ Styles or Samoa Joe, like closer to SummerSlam. I forget what it was last week. But it seems like they've kind of wrapped them around other things happening in wrestling to not to piggyback, but you know, to kind of make it feel more relevant. So yeah, that one, the fact that they feature the Von Erichs the way they did tonight does seem really out of place.
Yeah, for sure. Rick Martel, I think, was just an off the cuff remark. Though if he came back with, say, like a, I don't know, managing Jesse Goddard or something, maybe that'd be fun. Otherwise, I think he's probably the least likely of the group, but I'm kind of pulling for Paul Burchill to come swinging out, on a rope sometime.
According to Wikipedia, Paul Burchill still wrestles. At least as of last year, he was wrestling.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. I thought he was a pretty talented guy. Yeah,
he's also apparently a full-time firefighter.
Wow.
He's only 38 years old.
He's got another run in him.
Well, when did he leave WWE? That was like 2007.
Oh maybe? God, that was a long time ago.
So we're talking like he wasn't even 30 yet when he got cut. That's amazing.
I mean, wow.
When you think of like just how much of a bright spot he was, and how people thought he had such a bright future, and just what type of prospect he was, to have him be cut and then for the most part never heard from again before he's 30 years old is insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, is he never showed up in TNA, at least on TV. Maybe he had a dark match or something, and as far as I know, he never did anything with Ring of Honor. It's almost too bad that he's like, you know, in this era, if he was under 30, he would have plenty more options, but yeah, he never even got another chance with WWE, really. So
yeah. I guess so he had just turned 30. According to this, it was later than I thought. It was in 2010.
Oh, okay.
He was released in February of 2010, so a little over 8 years ago. But still, he had just turned 30 years old.
Man, it doesn't. Wow, that was longer than I would have guessed.
Yeah, that's insane. Anything else on your mind, Ryan?
Final questions on Sami Callihan. I noticed in Lucha Underground, he plays more of a follower as he takes orders from Daga and Cobra Moon. And in Impact, he's the leader. Has there ever been a time in history where there's been a wrestler that's sort of been like the leader of a group, but then he's like a follower on someone else's show at the same time?
None that come to mind. I mean, this is kind of a unique time, too, in the sense that for the first time that I can ever remember, you could have guys on two television shows for two different companies at the same time. You know, for years it was you were exclusive to one. And if you were with a big company and on a national TV show, you certainly weren't on anybody else's. So it's weird in that regard, but it's just different in that regard that you can have someone who's heavily featured on two different shows in two completely different roles. So I can't think of anybody that has ever been in a situation like that, only because I don't think the situation has ever presented itself, because anybody that was doing anything of importance on television was wrapped up in some type of exclusivity with the company they were working for. Andrew, can you think of anybody? Am I missing anybody obvious?
God, yeah, I can't think of anyone. Cause like you said, we'll definitely see more of it. I mean, Sami Callihan is in MLW too, and he's in a different stable there. So this sort of thing will definitely be happening more, but unless
it's something now where you're like, you have to look at each company as their own universe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my only guess there was like when ECW or NWA briefly invaded WWF in the 90s. But I don't know enough about that to like what the NWA was going on at the time. Yeah, I would say it probably hasn't, but I could definitely be wrong.
Hey, thanks for taking my call tonight.
Thanks, Ryan. You can give us a call as well at 515-605-9345. Again, the number is 515-605-9345. We're going to throw to another break, a quick one, 30 seconds. And when we come back, more of your phone calls here in the PW Torch Livecast.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
Back here on the live cast, and up next on the PW Torch live cast is Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, how are you?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you and Andrew doing this week?
Pretty good, I think.
Yeah, pretty good.
I am too. That's great. So, for the record, I would just like to confirm that Paul Burchill was indeed released in 2010. And if you remember, Paul Burchill's last regular wrestling employment was on WWE's version of ECW, where he had a 4-month-long program with the Hurricane over which wrestler had the better mask gimmick.
Yeah.
Clearly, WWE's ECW, the better ECW. That was painful mm-hmm. towards the end. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if I remember correctly, too, once they shut ECW down, that's when Paul Burchill was released, like probably a couple of weeks later.
Dang.
You're exactly right, Mike. So, my first question for this week concerns, of all things, the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame that we heard mentioned earlier tonight. And I want to know from both of you, who do you think will be this year's award recipient into the Impact Hall of Fame? And why do you think this person or perhaps group of people will be selected?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I started thinking about that when I saw the graphic and the promo air. There's really, at least, there's no one that really comes to mind as being an obvious choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have one theory that I hope doesn't happen, but I'm terrified it might.
Vince Russo?
No. Do they put Dixie Carter in there?
No.
Do they?
No.
She seems to get along with Anthem. She's still a minority owner and all this other garbage.
Yeah.
I would hope not. Again, I hope Don Callis is smarter than this, because you're trying to generate goodwill. This wouldn't exactly be a way to do it. But that's kind of my fear. Because I don't know. I don't really know if anyone else off the top of my head that makes a ton of sense. Do you, Andrew?
The only one I can really think of would be maybe James Storm. He's not really with the company. I mean, he's not in WWE, so they could get him.
That's the thing. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys that make sense, but like, you're not going to get AJ, you're not going to get Samoa Joe, you're not going to get even Bobby Roode. I mean, all these WWE guys that are contractor, and you're not going to get them. So I kind of I eliminated them.
Abyss, I think, would make sense.
Oh, Abyss would make sense. I didn't even think of him.
But I don't know if he's ready to, like, hang, I don't know, you know, play the Hall of Famer. But I think Abyss would make sense. Maybe Awesome Kong. I'm just trying to think of other women that they could have, but they haven't. I mean, there's like Gail Kim, and there's nobody in her stratosphere for women that were in the company as long and had as big of an influence as she did.
I mean, they could go really crazy and just be like, you know, it could be Sanjay Dutt.
They could, yeah. You know? Jerry Lynn, maybe? He was there for the early days.
Yeah, he
was, Triple X.
Yeah, who were some of the bigger
AMW
guys? Like, Amazing Red?
the Flying Elvises?
Yeah.
Sonny Siaki?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean,
Mike Sanders.
James Storm, if they could get James Storm, that would make a lot of sense. And him and Abyss, I guess, would probably be my two favorites.
I think
of Abyss.
Yeah, and Abyss is already with the company, so I will probably move him to my number one. And I mean, he may not think it's time to hang it up, but since he wrestles so infrequently, I think it would be fine to say this is Hall of Famer Abyss. I don't think that would damage him at all. So I would go Abyss 1, James Storm 2. God, and I can't. I don't even Dixie Carter 3, Vince Russo,
Booker
Jerry
T.
Jarrett 5. Yeah, Booker T. Kevin Nash, I guess. Maybe.
You know what? So that, look, I don't think that Kevin Nash would be a bad choice.
Yeah, he was there. I mean,
he was like the biggest name that they signed at first. Yeah, he was kind of like the first of the big names independently to sign there. Like, I'm kind of not counting Jeff Jarrett because he was involved with, you know, kind of owning it from the very beginning. But
yeah,
I mean, Kevin, when they signed Kevin Nash, and granted, he wasn't the game changer that Kurt Angle was, but when they signed Kevin Nash, he was kind of the first real big former world champion level star. And he was with them for a long time.
He was, yeah, at least I would say 5 years or so. Christian Cage actually just popped in my mind, and I don't think it's an outside chance because I don't know if he has any sort of deal with WWE, but
didn't they
it's
do
possible.
Him, did they do him a couple years ago?
I don't think so. I don't.
What was the thing they did with him where they traded Cage and Flair?
Oh, yeah, he showed up on TNA for a night to I can't remember what he introduced, but yeah, that was
probably.
It wasn't
a Hall of Fame, though?
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, all right.
I can fill that in for Dixie Carter, Dave, WWE, Ric Flair, so that Ric Flair could go into the WWE Hall of Fame for the second time in 2012, or, I'm sorry, 2011, as part of the Four Horsemen faction, and she made an agreement with John Laurinaitis and Mark Carano that they could have Christian show up and introduce a video package of some sort.
Okay. I remember he showed up, and I remember the trade was Flair for Christian. I just couldn't remember exactly what Christian did. It sounds like it was very memorable if he introduced a video package.
There you go.
Anything else in your mind, Colin?
And then I think he cut a promo while he was out introducing the video package.
Okay.
About how great it was to be there Nick, I'm sure he was probably lying.
Imagine, yeah. The other, another one just popped in my mind. Oh, sorry, I would say maybe Scott Steiner. I'd put him in my top 10.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, because he's been, been involved recently.
You're going to need a huge bleep button for that one.
That's entertaining.
If you decide to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I would actually watch that.
That might really be the end of Impact if you put Scott Steiner in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they've been close a few times, but no, that would. I think Andrew is on the right track. I think if I were to pick somebody, I would probably pick Abyss.
Yeah.
My second question concerns the pairing of KM and Falaba. Even though I've asked this question multiple times now, since Impact keeps changing directions from week to week with these two, where do you suppose this incarnation of KM doing a rip-off version of DDP and Tony Robbins mentoring Falaba, and Falaba acting like Eugene and only being able to say "Ba" is really going?
I'm not sure they know where it's going. I'll be honest. I mean, this has been a kind of a guilty pleasure for me. I get a kick out of it. I still laugh at Fall. I think Fall of Ba's good. As for where it's going, again, I'm not sure they know where it's going. I'm not sure it's going anywhere in particular, other than it's just going to be, it could just be the same thing every week, which means that eventually I'll get sick of it if it doesn't change and evolve. But I would imagine they keep them together, and it's probably they could do some things with them as a tag team, just because their tag team division isn't exactly deep, right, Andrew?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the odds of them winning the tag team titles, I would say, are above 50%, just because there's like
they're one of like four teams in the roster.
I guess the frat is now a thing, or I'm guessing they won't be back anytime soon. Where is it headed? I wouldn't doubt it if they broke up again soon and then got back together, and that's kind of a bit, because I think they've broken up like twice and KM turns on him again, which I mean, to me, that's kind of funny that they just keep like coming back together. I like what Mike said. I don't think there's a master plan here. I think they just kind of stumbled upon something, found it was funny, kept going with it. It started to kind of catch on a little bit. And then tonight they really went in on it by giving Ba the main event and kind of building the show around it. So somebody in management, or I guess, top management, thinks it's a pretty good act. So I imagine they will be around for at least a few months in this current form.
I just wish they were find directions for people and stick with them, or release people if they really don't want to use. I'm looking at you, Trevor Lee.
Sure, yeah.
Because there's no reason why that guy should be continuing to be wasted the way he is.
Totally agree. Yeah, you won't get an argument here.
Yeah, for sure.
And my final question concerns Congo Kong. With Jimmy Jacobs being taken out recently, do you think Impact Management has decided to abandon taking him into the direction of Impact Umaga, or is this just a temporary means of adding a sense of joy for people who do not care for Jimmy Jacobs, this heel character?
Yeah, they kind of seem lost with him. For a while, and I was obviously wrong on this, I thought that they could do some stuff with Congo Kong, just because even though it was kind of a cartoony character, if they built him correctly, kind of the way you said, Kylan, kind of the way that the WWE did with Umaga back in 2006 or whatever that was, 2007, I think they could have something, just in the short term. I don't think Umaga was going to be a world title contender for any long period of time, but he had a decent little 2 or 3 month feud there with John Cena for the title for a little bit. So I kind of figured that that's what they could get Congo Kong to, especially if they built him the right way and booked him as a monster. But now he's kind of just, it's been an afterthought, I think, for too long. So I don't know that they're ever going to get him to a point where he's going to feel like a serious monster again. I mean, to me, like, when it comes to these monster type heel characters, you've got one shot. The second you pump the brakes on it and you begin to make the monster feel beatable, you can't go back. You can't go back and have him be this unstoppable monster again. So I think they're kind of stuck with, they're not really going to be able to do much with him now other than make him just this mid-card heel. Andrew, do you think I'm wrong? You think they could still do something different with Kong?
The only thing I think they can really do with him now is put him into... he needs to go away for a bit, because we've seen how... I mean, you can't get tossed into a pool and then lose pretty decisively tonight like he did to Cage, and just have him come back and look like a super badass again. So he needs to go away for a bit if they want to bring him back at all. I would say put him in a tag team. Just let somebody else do the work. Maybe do a mismatch tag team with Jimmy Jacobs, but I think that pairing just never clicked. I would have him leave the company, and then when they find the right guy, another big guy, maybe that, just have a monster tag team. I think Jimmy Jacobs just needs to be repackaged as well. That just really disappointing signing. I think it just came in with some buzz, and it just, his work as a manager with Kong, just it was a weird fit, never clicked. And also, it's too bad that Congo Kong was essentially the one that, not exactly retired Abyss, but he became the new monster, and then it never got over. So that's a little bit of a wasted opportunity. It's just they need to rethink what they want to do with both of those guys.
Yep, totally agree. Totally agree. Anything else, Kyle?
Well, that's... I almost forgot. I kind of asked this last week, but what do you foresee Impact's possible role being on the NWA's 70th anniversary show on October 21st with Jeff Jarrett suing Impact, but also working with various companies to produce independent super shows through Fight TV at this point in his career.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have talent on the show. You know, similar to All In, I think, and Jeff Jarrett, I know, was doing a lot over StarCast weekend, too, working with Fight. So I'm sure it might be a little uncomfortable. But, I mean, hey, Jeff Jarrett was just in the ring with, what, three of their guys at Triple Mania a few weeks back. So I'm sure that there'll be Impact guys on the show. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I think the only match announced so far is Cody Rhodes and Nick Aldis in a rematch for the NWA title, but they're supposed to be announcing more here in the next week or so. But yeah, I'm sure that Impact talent will be in the show in what capacity and who remains to be seen, but I honestly would be really surprised if Impact talent wasn't on the show at all. Andrew, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think they'll be on the show, but I don't think they'll really go out of their way to present them as Impact talent. They may not even mention the name, but there's only so many big name indie wrestlers out there, and many of them are affiliated with Impact in some form. So, yeah, I think there'll probably be some in there. I mean, Jeff Jarrett, I don't think, is going to hold a grudge against anybody there. And,
it's still Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana's call.
Yeah, and it seems like Corgan and Lagana are still on, you know, good terms. Last I heard with Ed Nordum, I guess. Yep.
NWA taped a match in the Impact Zone. What was it last summer?
Yeah. So it would be cool if Impact tried to have some sort of presence on the show, but I don't think due to that lawsuit, much will come out of it officially, unfortunately.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good, Kylan. Thanks for the call. Another thing to point out about that show, too, I noticed, I think in a press release, they said that the price point for that NWA show was going to be announced at a later date. Someone sent me a screenshot earlier this week that if you go on the Fight app, you can buy the pay-per-view right now, and it's $24.99. So
nice.
That's a nice, moderately priced show. What's going to be interesting is you have Bound for Glory the week before on the 14th.
Okay. And that's going to be 40, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I assume it's going to be 40.
Yeah.
So you've got Bound for Glory on the 14th at $40, and then you've got the NWA show the following Sunday at $25. If you're a wrestling fan and you're going to spend pay-per-view dollars, if you're only going to buy one, what are you going to buy? And part of that, and I say that rhetorically. I mean, we don't know exactly what Impact is going to be building or building towards in advertising. We don't know, with the exception of that title match, what the NWA show is going to be advertising. But it's going to be interesting. You know, are wrestling fans going to spend $40 for the Impact show, Bound for Glory? Or are they going to wait a week and spend $25 on the NWA show?
Yeah, and I mean, All In was not long ago, so that was another $40 that people normally wouldn't be spending on pay-per-view. So at some point, there's going to be only so many of these major shows that can be run. So there's a whole other secondary minor war that could break out between these promotions.
All right, let's go to another break. When we come back, we'll finish up taking phone calls here on the live cast. Get the number 515-605-9345. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds here on the PW Torch live cast, talking Impact Wrestling here on a Thursday.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
It's Speaking of WWE pay-per-views, Hell in a Cell, it's coming up this Sunday. That means when we go off the air here on the live cast, Andrew and I are going to be taping a VIP after show exclusively for VIP members here at pwtorch.com, and we are going to be making our picks for Hell in a Cell. And Andrew, I saw your text from earlier. Last time we did this, seems like I had a pretty good SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm not... I finally added up all the tallies from NXT and SummerSlam, and you got an impressive victory that night. I'm not happy about it. I'm going to have to come back in a big way tonight.
Well, it's probably my first big victory that I can think of.
It is your biggest victory so far.
No surprise. All right. We got more phone calls lined up, so let's go to more phone calls. Again, 515-605-9345. Matt in Bakersfield, California is next on the live cast.
Good evening, gentlemen.
What is on your mind tonight, Matt?
Oh, not much. So before I get into my impact talk, just about you guys were topics you were talking about earlier in the evening, like about like Rick Martel. I don't know if you know this or not, but when Don Callis first got signed to the WWF in 97, he was supposed to come back with Rick Martel, and they were going to be the models.
Yes.
But I guess Bischoff, you know, said, I'll double your salary, and then Martel took off, you know, and then that's when I guess they went with the Jackal gimmick. So he does have that tie with Martel.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I heard Bruce Mitchell, not Bruce Mitchell, Bruce Pritchard talked about that recently. I think it was last week even, or the week before, on his podcast.
And then there was some talk about wrestlers on a wrestling show, but still had the same angle going on. One thing... I'm sorry. One feud I thought of, and I'm watching it right now on YouTube. Not right now, the second, but you know, is WWF versus the USWA. It all took place in 1992, and I guess this is where Vince got the idea for the, you know, the Vince McMahon character, and this is also saw like a heel Tatanka.
Yeah, I actually remember part of that. Yeah, that was the first. He did an interview, I think, on their TV, which was the first time that Vince really kind of cut a heel promo. And obviously, the Mr. McMahon stuff didn't come for another 5 years after that. But yeah, that was the first glimpse of Vince McMahon, the heel, in Memphis there against Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, even Vince had on the title. He had the smile. Even it's funny, like, to hear. Because there was a big match where Vince sent down Randy Savage. So it's Savage versus Lawler, you know, and he's telling Lawler all this. I mean, yeah, Lawler, all this stuff. It was cool, man.
Yeah, I haven't watched those in a while, but I remember a few years ago kind of unearthing those clips, probably the same as you did on YouTube. And it's an interesting sight to see Vince McMahon in that era acting the way that he acted, knowing what was in his future. And at the time, knowing that they didn't even acknowledge on TV that he owned the company.
Right, right. So, and then no Dixie Carter for the Hall of Fame. He goes in, I will stop watching.
Wow.
I don't think you'd be alone. I think a lot of people would feel that way.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll happen either. It's my biggest fear, I think, at this point.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people are just so, like, sour on Impact, you know, that they're just, you know, no one cares anymore. But I believe Impact is doing a great job of putting on shows, putting on quality matches. So, you know, I think slowly it's starting to turn, it's going to turn around.
I would hope so.
You know, have a little faith.
I think Andrew and I have talked about it. I don't think that they'll really turn around until they get on a bigger network. I think they're probably maxing out their audience with Pop It just seems that way, you know, or else they would have seen more movement at this point, by this point. It seems like they're probably maxing out what they are. And part of it is like, look, I get it. Like, Pop is available in a lot of homes. But up until a couple of years ago, you would only put on Pop TV to see what was on another channel because it was just the scrolling TV guide over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like it's a destination network. Not many people, if they do have it, know that they have it. I know for a while, and I cut my cord from a cable standpoint about a year ago, but on Xfinity, Comcast, in the Boston area here, which is the biggest carrier in New England, you didn't even get the HD feed of Pop. So a lot of people, I mean, the way people watch television now, like if you don't get the HD channel, I'm not even sure that people around here know that they have it. So you're not going to find the network flipping through the channels or anything like that, at least not in this area, because you're not going to get that HD feed. It's kind of buried somewhere like in the 200 numbers because there's no HD feed for the network on Comcast, which is the biggest carrier here in New England. So I'm sure it's that way in other places too. So I don't think they can do anything till they get themselves on a bigger network, and that's been their biggest hurdle right now that they have to climb, in my opinion. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think after a while they could get back into the 350s, 360 range, but
yeah, I think that's the cap, though.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think they're ever going to hit that like 500,000 number. Another thing is like, you know, I have this on PlayStation 4. PlayStation View has Pop, but I've looked into other streaming options. And I think besides, like, I think YouTube may have it, but they don't believe Sling.
Because I have YouTube, and that's YouTube TV gets Pop. And I had PlayStation View before I had YouTube TV, and they had Pop. And I'm not sure that there's any of the other ones do.
Exactly. Yeah, I've looked around because some of them are cheaper. Some of the, like, $20, $25 one a month options, but they don't carry Pop. So, I mean, they have USA. Some of them have El Rey. But yeah, not Pop. So they are just on a network that just revolves around, I don't think they really have an identity. Schitt's Creek, I guess.
And soap opera reruns.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
General Hospital is the big lead in Impact Wrestling.
The big hot lead in. Yeah. I mean, basically they're never going to get, I don't think they will ever get to 500,000 on this station if they ever get to that number again.
Neither do I. I mean, were they? I mean, they were 500,000 was the number they were at with Destination America quite frequently. I don't remember what the debut on Pop was. They may, I'm not sure they've hit 500,000 at any point on Pop TV.
I don't think so. I don't even know if they've done 400. Oh, no, they did 400 a couple times.
They've been in the fours. Yeah. Some of the final deletion and those type of things, I think we're all up into the fours, but I'm not sure they've hit five.
No, I believe they have not.
Yeah. Did you gentlemen happen to catch the Twitch show from this past Sunday?
No, not yet. I think you can watch it on demand on their Twitch channel, but I have not watched it yet. Did you check it out, and what did you think of it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I checked it out. It was great. It was awesome. Five action-packed matches. My only issue is, you know, they've been they throw their ads in the middle, and so it's like every 7-8 minutes, boom, there comes an ad. Like, I missed the finish to the first match, which was Matt Sydal, Rich Swann, and Trevor Lee, and I guess Rich Swann won the match, and I guess he pinned Trevor Lee and Matt Sydal back to back. But I had a stupid Reese's Pieces commercial, you know?
Yeah, that's. So I think you can get the pay version that eliminates ads. Andrew, did you see that show?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched it yet either. I completely forgot about it. I know they plugged it on air on a couple of ads, but they never really did like a hard sell for it on TV. And I think that's kind of one of a potential problem that they have right now. They're just like, yeah, watch the show, but it doesn't really have any effect on the storylines going forward.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Didn't even think about it, to be honest.
Right. But it was just like one time, like, matches, like another match on there was the the tag team match. It was LAX versus Jody Fleiss and Johnny Storm. And I don't know if you know those names or not, but those are like UK legends. They were like the first ones to come back from the 2000s, you know, so they're like the veterans. And they're still wrestling, and they put on one hell of a match. And I was already losing interest because of the stupid commercials, but just the action that I saw between them, I mean, I was hooked. I was like, yeah. And I got to see the finish.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good. And I've watched a couple of their Twitch shows. I mean, they're not that bad, honestly. But like Andrew said, I think for more people to want to check them out, that they need to feel like what they're watching has some type of consequence to it from a storyline perspective. Mm-hmm. And until they can manage to do that, I think I don't know that people will make it destination viewing or must watch viewing if, you know, the results of that show, I'm not sure were mentioned once tonight, were they?
I don't believe so, no.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's almost like those one-night-only pay-per-views where, yeah, there's shows and, yeah, they happen, but if there's no consequence to the storytelling universe, I think it's going to be hard for them to get many people to feel like they need to take the time to watch it.
Mm.
Right, right, yeah. No, good point. But with the show, gentlemen, have you checked out this sponsor, this com.com? That's sponsoring Bound for Glory.
I have no earthly idea what that is. Andrew, do you?
No, I was going to Google it during the show and just never did. But no, I have no idea what that is.
I hope they're paying them a lot of money. Yeah, well, I have absolutely no idea what they do.
Yeah.
Well, I Googled it, and it's a hat company. It's like if you go on the website right now, you can get your official Bound for Glory hat.
Wow. What's the company?
Comda, comda.com.
Comda.com. Oh.
There's a picture.
Oh, yeah, there we go. It has a trust score of 8.5. How about that?
Click here to get your hat.
I wonder if we're the only three people in the world on this site right now.
I had never heard of Comda.com before tonight.
Only $25 for a Bound for Glory hat? Jeez. Who designed this thing? Anyway. It's like you can buy pens for 47 cents on the main page. I hope they're paying him a lot. What the heck?
It's not even great. It's not even a great look. All they did was take the words Bound for Glory and put them on a hat.
Yeah. 31 cents for promotional pens. Minimum 300.
Hey. You know what? Good for them. They're getting money from somebody.
I feel we should have sponsored this show because it couldn't have been more than like 40 bucks they paid them. The Impact Livecast.
Glory presented by the Thursday Livecast from the Prototype and
Leviathan.
And Leviathan, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We should look into that.
Yeah.
We should look into advertising the show.
For sure.
You should. You should. That would so sell.
Oh, I agree.
Oh.
I would buy another subscription.
You know what? I mean, considering...
But
I mean, how much can it be to advertise on Pop TV? It can't be that much, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I wonder if I can read... maybe... I'm curious to, like, contact them. Like, how much do you pay?
You and I could record... Yeah, we'll record a spot on... We'll record an advertisement on Skype... Just be like a Skype call split screen of you and me sitting in our chairs talking about how you need to listen to us when the Impact goes off the air.
Right. I mean, it's better than pens.
It's genius, if you ask me.
Dude, that would be awesome. You could have Joe Henry do your theme song.
Oh, yeah. We could have Richie could send in as a third guest host.
Oh, man. That's the dream. We'll get him on someday.
As long as, it's not past his bedtime.
Yeah, well, that's true. This show's way too late for him.
He has school tomorrow.
Well, there goes that idea.
If he's out of the hospital, he has school tomorrow.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, from your conversation last week about the, you know, where do they get advertisements and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. You know, they run like in South America, the United Kingdom, you know, India. So obviously, I mean, they have to be getting money from like those countries.
Yeah, they do. And from what I remember hearing back a couple of years ago, right around the time, well, 2 years ago, really, right around the time that all the ownership issues were happening, the international television deals was the only reason why they had any revenue at all. They were making money from their international TV deals. So I have to assume that that is still the case because not much has changed. They're still on pop and they're still doing similar viewership numbers, if not slightly worse. So I would think that the fact that they have international TV contracts and they're getting paid internationally for the TV show, that's what's kept them in business over the last couple of years.
All right, cool. And what'd you think about Fallout Bond getting that title shot and that whole lead up to the main event? How'd you feel that went?
I loved it because I love Fallout Bond. no, but like Andrew, like you said, I thought it went well. I mean, they kind of built up this story throughout the course of the whole night, and that's and then they paid it off at the end.
Yeah, no, I thought it was fun. I thought it was pretty well executed. Just kind of like what I said near the kind of the beginning of the show. I think it just felt out of place. Like you could have done that story any night. It didn't really play into Bound for Glory. I felt in an effective way, but right. I guess, yeah, but no, it was fun. I enjoyed that. It just felt a little, out of place basically.
All right. Cool. All right, gentlemen. Well, it was nice talking to you and, have a nice evening.
Awesome. Right. Yeah. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call. Okay. We have another caller lined up and we're getting towards the end of the show. So let's try to get this caller on. This is a Skype caller. So I don't know who this is, but Skype caller, say your name and where you're calling from. Hello?
Follow Bob?
Richie?
Richie?
It does sound like some type of breathing machine. Maybe it is Richie.
Oh, that weird.
Richie, is this you?
Richie? Go to bed.
I don't know what's going on there, but all right. Well, we had a call, but apparently they is that somebody that's asleep, actually?
I'm a little creeped out now at the moment.
I hate to say it because I don't think we're that boring, but I think we may have put somebody to sleep.
Genius. I'm sorry, whoever that was. I don't know what. Yeah.
I didn't think we were that bad.
I thought it was an okay show. I know it wasn't our best one, but.
No, yeah. Still.
Oh, well.
Putting people to sleep now. Yeah. Making me question whether or not we're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't want to advertise on Impact if we're going to be putting people to sleep.
Man, yeah, we really need to rethink this.
The Leviathan would not let anyone fall asleep.
No, that's true.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we've said all that there is to be said, quite frankly.
Right. I think so, too. Yeah.
We're going to do an after show for VIP members. We are going to do that. We're going to make picks for Hell in a Cell. Hopefully we, well, let's see, how many matches do we have to pick? This is going to be much shorter than our SummerSlam pick show because we don't have to go with like 15 matches and then NXT.
Yeah, we were up till 4 a.m. still picking.
It took forever.
A nightmare.
All right, cool. Well, I don't have anything else to say about Impact. Do you?
No.
Well, thanks for listening, and goodbye. Like I said, we've said all that there is to be said. So if you didn't see Impact this week or for whatever reason, or now you now know everything that there is to know. So you're welcome.
I'll just plug quick. PWPodcast.com. Instead of checking out, spending hours listening to wrestling podcasts besides ours, always listen to this one.
great job there. Don't spend your hours listening to anybody else's. Spend a couple of hours listening to this one, and then all the other ones you can go read about.
Right. Check that out at pwpodcast.com. If you want to be a contributor to a show you listen to, hit me up at pwpodcast@gmail.com. There's plenty out there we don't have covered. That would be awesome to get coverage for, if that's your thing. Check out comda.com. Get your exclusive Bound for Glory hat for only $24.95 and buy 300 pens for only 31 cents a piece while you're at it.
You need to buy 300 of them.
It's a minimum of 100 of a buy, I believe. But don't let that detract you. I'm on Twitter. I'm very rarely on there, but you can follow me if you want. Andrew, Souceck.
If you really need 100 pens, like if you go through a lot of pens, mm-hmm. I know a place where you can get Bound for Glory pens for 37 cents a piece.
Wow. Tell me more.
It is kind of weird. I mean, before we go, just quickly, it is kind of weird that they have this big presenting sponsor for Bound for Glory, and it's a company that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Not only is it a company that no one's ever heard of, but from what I understand, from what I can gather, look through the website, it's a company that makes promotional materials.
Yes.
So it's like your biggest presenting advertiser is an advertising company.
I guess they've been in North America for 45 years, providing high quality, customized promotional products at unbeatable prices.
We were talking about barter earlier with Chris Jericho. I hope this wasn't like, hey, we need 500 pens. You want to be the presenting sponsor for Bound for Glory if you make us pens?
I'm going to assume that's exactly how it happened.
They're not actually paying them any money. They're shipping them 500 pens and a couple of beanie hats, and it's all set.
Because they didn't even say what it was during the show. They're like, they didn't say, check out Comda if you need 300 pens for your office.
Kind of sounds like a villain organization from like a Marvel movie.
I'm Comda. They'll probably make a wrestler out of him now.
Comda's coming. We must fight against Comda.
We must join together to fight Comda.
Assemble.
They should just call Austin Aries stable Comda. Can we just give it a name?
comes out throwing pens at people.
Perfect.
It actually I'm not gonna lie, it's a pretty cool name. It's just like it sounds cool.
It sounds cool, and then you see what it is.
Yeah. Well, don't let that ruin it for you.
Yeah, or unless they want to sponsor us, so I take back everything.
100%, yeah. If they want to sponsor the podcast, they're obviously incredible people, and it's great. And we would welcome the PW Torch Livecast brought to you by Comda. We'll change the name. We'll just call it the Comda Cast if that's what they really want.
Really just send us some pens and we'll change the name.
That's all it takes.
It.
We're easy. We're not cheap dates. We don't need to be wined and dined. All we need is some pens and maybe a winter hat. And we're good.
Yeah. It's getting cold out, so I mean
it's getting that time of year.
Really is, isn't it?
Unfortunately. all right. Well, we're gonna go over to the VIP after show and we're gonna talk about Hell in a Cell. And hopefully we're not going to put any more people to sleep. If we have put you to sleep, I'm sorry. Hopefully you're not listening to this in the car.
Yeah, no doubt.
If we put you to sleep while you're driving, that could be
pull over and listen to us.
Yeah. I don't want to be responsible for any deaths. Or Frank. I know we have a listener, Frank, who is a pilot, so I really hope we didn't put him to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Be careful. That'd be, up there.
That'd be a lot of that. We'd be responsible for a lot if that happened. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the live cast this week on a Thursday. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place, talking about the same show. But for VIP members, we will talk to you in just a minute. And we're going to talk about Hell in a Cell. We're going to make our picks for Hell in a Cell. And yeah. I'm going to get to gloat a little bit because from what Andrew said, I did really well at SummerSlam. And I usually don't do well at all with our picks. So I get to celebrate at least for a short period of time until Monday when I get all these ones wrong.
But yeah, well, you can.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks again for listening to the live cast. Thanks to our callers. Andrew, we thank everybody. Richie, the guy who we unfortunately it's on like we put to sleep.
Sorry.
We want to thank Comda just because. I got that right, right? It's Comda?
It is Comda.com.
There it is. Well, thanks, Comda. I was going to say thanks for letting us have fun at your expense. I'm not sure that they know we had fun at their expense. But yeah, that'll do it for the live cast for this week. VIP members, we will talk to you in a couple of seconds on the VIP after show. We're going to make our Hell in a Cell picks. Like I said, we'll run down the whole card. We'll preview the show. We'll make our picks. But if you're a VIP member, you know you get a whole lot more than just more of me and Andrew making our pay-per-view picks, even though that's awesome and you should listen.
Alone.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're worth the price of admission, but just in case you don't think that us alone are worth a VIP membership, you get a lot more, including a lot of audio in every single day basis. And Wade Keller's going to tell you more about that in just a second. So if you are interested in PW Torch VIP, you should go to pwtorch.com/govip and sign up and get into the VIP community. I can guarantee you that you won't regret it. Wade's going to tell you more about that in just a second, though. Once again, this is Mike McMahon for Andrew Socek. Thank you to everybody
90
for
seconds.
Listening to the live cast this week. And Andrew and I will talk to you next week, next Thursday, back here on the PW Torch live cast.
PW Torch live cast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch live cast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including the review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.